Tana Rabbanan. So we're on the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and we are six lines. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom. We started this yesterday. Let's go over it again. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzem Ma'arvim Derech Rishus HaRabin. How do we set up an Eruv in a case where you have a Rishus HaRabin that goes down a, we'll call it a boulevard, separating houses on the right side, a row of houses on the right, from a row of houses on the left. And the Braisa says, Ose tzura sapesach mikan, vilechi vakor mikan. At one entrance into this boulevard, between the two rows of houses, we set up a tzura sapesach. And then, at the very end of this row of houses, we set up either a lechi or a korah. Chananya Omer, Chananya records in this price, Machlokas Shin Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Ose delas mikan videlas mikan. That according to Beit Shammai, you require a door, that means like two doors that open up and close, right? On both ends. Both on the entrance into this this section that's between the two rows of houses and at the end of that section. That's the shita of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai adds the following stipulation. Ukshu yotze v'nichnas noel. When he enters into this delas and he's about to continue on, he should close the door behind him. Or at the end of this row, when he exits from this area that's been set off with this Tzuras HaPesach, with, in this case, Beit Shammai says Tzuras HaPesach is not enough, but you need a Delas, then he should close the door, lock the door behind him. And yesterday we discussed that there might be a question here about whether you're allowed to lock these doors on Shabbos because of what's called creating a mechitza. We don't create a mechitza on Shabbos. That has to do with a malacha called boneh, or ohel. So we have to assume, and this is what the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe points out in his tshuva in Avnei Nezer, which is noted here on the bottom of the page, that you need what's called a deles mechuberes bitzirim. So that means that this door, when you lock the two doors together, there are little loops, so to speak, and little pieces of copper or whatever substance it is that fit one into the other and keep the door fastened. It's kind of like, imagine, what are those belts called? You know, those like cowboy belts, if you know what I mean. They have a buckle, and the buckle sort of tucks into a hole. And that's how you keep the belt closed. So that's called a temporary kind of a closure. So when Beit Shammai require that you lock the door behind you, so that there'll be a constant mechitza there, he doesn't mean that you lock it in a way where the two sides are attached to each other in a permanent way, but rather it's kind of like fitting into loops, and that's called tzirim. And if it's a chibur of tzirim, that's not considered a creation of an ohel on Shabbos. Okay, that, again, this is nothing whatsoever to do with asugya. I'm just pointing it out. It's sort of like a branch on the side of our sugya. Beisil omrim ose delz mikan velechi vekora mikan. So although Beisil agree that on one end of this corridor, we'll call it a corridor, you need a delis, and in that sense Beisil are on the same side, on the same radar screen as Beit Shammai, but on the other end of this corridor, Beisil in disagreement with Beit Shammai does not require a delis, but rather a lechi or a korah. So if we go back to the Tanakhama, this brisa, the Tanakhama says you need a tzuras ha-pesach, you don't even need a delis on one side, and a lechi on the other side, at the end of this corridor. And they still require a delis on one side, entering into this corridor, and a lechi on the other side. And basically it turns out that according to both the Tanakhama, the first Tana, and Beis Hillel, you do not require four mechitzos. You don't require four mechitzos. So we'll get back to this in Ritz Hashem as we go along. So the Gemara now raises the following objection. Is it really possible, and we're going to quote a braisa to prove the opposite, that you can create an Eruv on a Rishus HaRabim? All our Eruvim assume that we're not dealing with Rishus HaRabim for whatever reason. Either the boulevard is not 16 amas wide, or there's no Shishim Ribui in the city, or maybe the city is surrounded by a wall. There may be any number of reasons why within a city, a particular area, a street, a boulevard, an avenue, whatever you want to call it, is not a Rishus HaRabim. But the premise is that if you want to set up an Eruv to allow Tiltal, you have to first and foremost exclude a Rishus HaRabim, that it's not a Rishus HaRabim. You can call it a Carmelis. You can call it, for example, the case of a Mavli Rishus HaYachid Doraisa, but the Rabbanim want to make an Eruv to be Mat to the Mavli, whatever it might be, but it can't be a Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, the very premise of this brisa, unless we go with Beit Shammai, that's a little different, because Beit Shammai has a Delos Mikan, and then you have four mechitzos, because the facades of the respective homes are going to form one mechitza on the right and another mechitza on the left, and now you have a Delos Mikan and a Delos Mikan at the beginning of this corridor and at the end, so you might have four mechitzos that set aside that area in between the batim, what we call the corridor. But if we leave Beit Shammai on the side for a moment, and we go into Tanakhama or Beis Hillel, we do not have a Rishus HaYochid, we have a Rishus HaRabim. Now, let me point out to you, based on, this is Tosus, Dibri HaMaschil, Vilechi, towards the bottom of the page, that we're talking about a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim, which means the following. Number one, it has the width of 16 amma. Number two, it opens up for shishim ribu, which means that on any given day, or let's call it a Shabbos for our purposes, but it could be any day of the week, there will be 600,000 people during the course of a 24-hour period that will go up and down this boulevard. And in such a case, we have a Rishus HaRabim Gemura, a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim, and Ein Moel Tikun Shalechi Vekora. You cannot be Matir a Rishus HaRabim Gemura with a Lechi or a Kora. So for example, if we take the Shita of the Tanakhama, it's very nice that he added a Tzuras HaPesach, and on the other end he added a Lechi and Kora, but a Lechi and Kora could not be helpful. They could not be effective to be matir tiltal in a Rishus HaRabim Gemura. And the Gemara is going to assume that even according to Beis Hillel, who has a Delos Mikan, it doesn't make sense that Delos, together with a Lechi at the other end, would be matir Rishus HaRabim. So we'll have to see exactly how this plays itself out. Now, if you go back to the Mishnah at the beginning of this Masechta, the Mishnah says that Lechi and Kora are meaningful only for a Mavui whose Pesach, whose entrance, is less than 10 amos wide. Now, if we're talking here in our sugya about Rishus HaRabim Gemura, a boulevard that has the width of 16 amos, then clearly by definition, a Lechi and a Kora could not be matir, because a Lechi and a Korah could only be matir, the Pesach HaMavui is up to, but not beyond, Eser Amos. And here we're talking about a Rishus HaRabim Gemura, which is 16 Amos wide. Now there is a Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, whose Mekil, he is more lenient in a Pesach, in the entranceway into a Mavui, which is wider than 10 Amos. But the Gemara later on Daf Yud, is going to establish that Rabbi Yehuda's Kula only apply to a Pesach that is up to 13 and a third amos, but not beyond that. So that, by definition, even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda's Kula, he's allowing for a larger opening for a Mavui, but nevertheless, it certainly is not 16 amma wide. Now, Tosus makes the following comment, and I'm going to read to you one line. He says, Hakavona kan sheyasa lechi rachav bi ofen sheyamait es rochav apesach lefochos mi eser amos. According to Tosus, and this is going to be a major problem for us, but let's just mention Shitas HaTosus, the lechi that's indicated by this brisa is not what you call a standard lechi, you know, which is thin as it might be, but rather we're talking about a lechi that has a certain width to it, and that width is going to diminish the width of the opening here, such that it's less than 10 amos open. So let's say we mentioned that this is a boulevard that has a width of 16 amos. The lechi itself is going to have to be a minimum of 6 amos in length. And otherwise, the concept of lechi, which we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, would be inapplicable entirely, because a lechi cannot be meaningful for an opening that is more than 10 amos wide. So we've mentioned on many occasions Rav Yaakov Kahana, who apparently his contribution to the world of Torah is mostly his commentary on Masechta Erevin, which is called the Gaon Yaakov. So if you have a notebook here, please write that down, Gaon Yaakov, because we're going to be quoting that sefer as we have in the past numerous times. He writes that although Tosus has supplied some sort of an answer for lechi, that lechi could be meaningful if it's, as we calculated it, more than 6 amos wide, aval adayin yikshe, he says we should still ask the following question. Mikora, just 1 second, adayin yikshe, shigam, hi einamo il yoser, may eser amos. Okay, so I think that this particular comment here, the Gaon Yaakov, will make more sense after we see the Braisa. So I'm just trying to make a quick calculation whether or not we should spend that time here on the Gaon Yaakov, or first we should read the Braisa. Just give me a minute here. I see. The Gaon Yaakov is bothered by the following question. If you look carefully at the Braisa, in this case of a Rishus HaRabim, the Braisa has two options, a Lechi or a Korah. Do you notice that? And the word Korah is not applicable here, according to Tosus. Why? Because although it might be true that you could solve the problem of the width of Eser Amos, meaning that now it's 16 Amos, by interpreting the Braisa as referring to a Lechi that is that wide, as we discussed, that's not going to help me with Korah, because Korah is an alternative to replace Lechi in this Braisa. You have two choices. And if you're using a Korah, the Korah is going to have to stretch from one left corner to the other right corner, which is more than 16 amos. You know, Lechi could possibly solve your problem of the 16 amos and reduce the opening to 10 amos or less, but in the case of Korah, which is going to be a replacement for Lechi, how are you going to solve the problem? So that is a question that we're going to leave as an open question on Tosus. We don't have right now an answer to that question. Now he quotes the Marsha. The Marsha adds the following. The Braisa is going to tell us that according to Tanna Kamma, Osem Mitzad Echad Tzuras HaPesach, that on one entryway into this boulevard, we're going to create a Tzuras HaPesach. So the Marshal asks the following question. Back on Daf Beis Amid Beis, we had a Gemara of Rav. And Rav holds that Tzuras HaPesach is not meaningful if it's more than 10 amos wide. So if you get a chance, you'll take a look on Daf Beis Amid Beis. So that Tosus' answer for a lechi, that the lechi itself reduces, diminishes the opening from a width of 16 to a width of 10 or less, that's not going to help us for Tzuras HaPesach. Why? Because again, at the end of this boulevard, you're going to have a wide lechi, according to Tosfos. But at the beginning of the boulevard, you have no lechi. All you have is a Tzuras HaPesach. Let's take the Tanna Kamma Shita here in our Braisa. Well, Rav holds that a Tzuras HaPesach is only operative in an area, to enclose an area that's less than 10 amos wide. So how are we going to explain Tzuras HaPesach? And just like the Gaon Yaakov left the question hanging as to how Tosus is going to justify a Korah, the Marshal leaves this question hanging as to how to justify a Tzuras HaPesach according to Rav. So there's a super commentary on the Marshal, which is called the Nemukei HaGriv. And he writes that when the Tanna Kamma says that you make a Tzuras HaPesach at the entranceway into this so-called boulevard, as we called it, is what he should do is he should set up two amudim. Right, what is the Tzuras HaPesach? There are two vertical poles, parallel one to the other, with a horizontal pole that connects them on top. He says the two poles, the amudim, which are the grounded part of the Tzuras HaPesach, they should be made wide. Just like you could make a lechi that's wide, you can make these amudim of a Tzuras HaPesach wide, and he should make it wide enough so that he diminishes the entranceway into this Rishus HaRabim to 10 amos. And then he puts a korah that attaches the two amudim and forms the triangle, the third element in the Tzuras HaPesach. So again, we can solve two out of three problems. We can solve the lechi problem at the end of this boulevard and say it's a wide lechi that closes off the opening. And we could solve the Tzuras HaPesach issue of the Tanna Kamma at the beginning of this boulevard by saying that the amudim are very wide. We cannot yet solve the problem of the korah, because the korah, as we said before, replaces the lechi, and you don't have the proper width for a korah. A korah can only be meaningful if the area that is wide up to but not beyond 10 amos. Okay. Now we have the Rashba. The Rashba says, Midubar shahaderech lechol orka rechava sheshesrei amos. Ubisof miskatzer rochav aderech ad lieser amos. Now I can't tell you enough that I know enough to explain this Rashba, but at least we can translate the words of the Rashba. The Rashba says that in our Braisa, which has a lechi or a korah, we're talking about a Rishus HaRabim that begins with 16 amos, but then it gets a little bit more narrow until finally it narrows down to 10 amos. Now, I think what he means is the following. A boulevard is a Rishus HaRavim that cuts through the entire city from north to south. At certain points, that boulevard becomes more narrow. So the width of 16 amos, according to the Rashba, and I don't know that anybody disagrees with the Rashba right now, does not have to have 16 amos in width from the beginning of the Rishus HaRavim all the way to the end of the Rishus HaRavim as it cuts through the entire city. And therefore you could have a Rishus HaRavim which at certain points is a Rishus that's less than 16 amos wide. And that, according to the Rashba, is what's going on in our Braisa. Enochinami, if this corridor, as we called it, is always 16 amos wide, then for sure Tosis is right. How could we possibly talk about a lechi when there's a greater width than 10 amos? That's impossible. The maximum width to allow for a lechi is 10 amos. But the answer is that we're looking only at a fragment or a small section of this Rishus HaRavim that takes us from one end of the city to the other end of the city. And the fragment that we're looking at, this corridor, has a width of less than 10 amos. So therefore, it may have 16 amos at certain points, but it gets a little bit more narrow, so to speak, at other points. And it gets to the point where it's less than 10 amos. And it still maintains the status of Rishus HaRavim. Again, this is very futuristic for us. We really have to know a lot more about the definition of Rishus HaRavim. He offers another possibility. He says, Obofen, just give me 1 second. So then he now is about to suggest another possible answer. So yeah, Don, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, the lechi, wouldn't it have to be at the entrance? So the 10 amos would have to be narrowed at the entrance. Can't be somewhere along the middle of the road. Would I miss something?
Again, I can just read to you the language of the Rashba one more time. He says, Rochva Sheshesre Amos, but Besof Miskatze Rochav Aderech Ad Eser Amos.
Besof.
Yeah, that's what he says. It gets narrow towards the end.
Okay.
Again, I don't know how that's going to solve the problem of the Marsha. You remember the Marsha had a problem with Rav on Daf Beis Amid Beis. How do you set up a Tzuras HaPesach if there's a Rochav of more than 10 Amos? I don't know how to solve that problem. But now he offers another solution, which I think is even more fascinating. And the first solution, again, requires a lot of study on our part, which I don't think we have the wherewithal now to do it, about how to define a Rishus HaRavim in terms of these various segments. If we put our finger down on the map and we say, well, at this point it's not 16 amos wide, does it still maintain the status of Rishus HaRavim? Because, you know, if we continue down the road, it gets wider. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, if you would ask me intuitively, I would have said that any moment, any location on the map that you put your finger down and you call it a Rishus HaRavim, at that point it has to have a width of 16 amos. That's what I would have said if not for the Rashba. But the Rashba seems to be assuming that that's not so, that you don't have to say, well, every single part of the Rishus HaRavim from X to Z, you know, X to Y to Z is always 16 amos wide. There could be certain parts of the Rishus HaRavim which are less than 16 amos wide. Again, this is all something that requires a great deal of study. And it has tremendous implications in Halacha in terms of Erevin. Why? Because it could be that even though we don't create an Erev on Rishus HaRavim, but maybe in certain cases that the Rishus HaRavim is narrow, maybe we could create an Erev. But I'm more interested now, if you don't mind, in his second approach. He says, a brisa kan eina osekes b'shus harabim gemura ela b'shus harabim shebemokom echad he miskatzeres l'rochav shel eser amos v'gam b'mokom hatzar nidon kish saram kem sharam holchem v'shus harabim umamshichim darkom gam l'chelek hatzar v'einom tzrichim la'akem es hiluchom elema'at. So he says the following. We don't have to assume, as he did in his first possibility, that we're talking about a boulevard which, as you extend it towards the end of the city, you know, somewhere along the line it gets narrow. No. Forget about that. He wants to know about the following two conditions. One is Rabim Holchim Sham, and two is Mamshichim Bidarkom Kidarkom Gam Bechela Katsar V'einom Tzrichim La'akim Esiluchom. He says the following, that the definition of Rishus HaRabim could allow for something that's not Gemura, but yet it's Rishus HaRabim, but not because when I continue towards the end of the city, it's not Gemura because it gets narrow, but even in certain areas where it gets narrow, like, for example, it gets reduced to 10 amos wide, but holchim bo rabim kiderech hiluchom delila akim. So the Rashba is now setting up the following condition, that the masses of people who walk down this boulevard, and perhaps in a contemporary context we could talk about, you know, automobiles, what happens is, at certain areas, at certain points, it gets narrow, and now we have to ask the following question, says the Rashba. Do they have to turn off towards the left or towards the right? That's called La'akem es darkom. Or, alternatively, they wait online, you know, they have to have an extra measure of patience. And they may have to wait a little bit until the throngs of people move forward. I remember my wife and I were once in Rome. I'm trying to remember the name of this boulevard in Rome, you know, which has a million shops on both sides, but it gets really narrow at some point. And literally the throngs of people, not today obviously, but the throngs of people are so crowded that it could take you literally 10 minutes to get through, you know, to the other side where it gets wide again. And the Rashba is claiming now that even in those areas which are narrow 10 amos, which means it's not called the Rishus HaRam Gemura, because the word Gemura always means 16 amos, nevertheless, it still has the status of Rishus HaRamim, because the Rabim are Holchim Sham, and they do not turn to the left or to the right to find some sort of alternative ways. You follow what I mean? There may be a street to the right, there may be a street to the left, you know, half the people could go this way, half that way. No. The people are patient, and they wait, even though it means it's a little bit less comfortable, and they squeeze through an area that's only 10 amos wide. He says that since they will continue down this pathway until it finally gets wide, therefore this segment has the status of Rishus HaRabim. Otirates. Now he has another explanation for how you get this 10 amos width. Shebala gemara kan lo yodas ha-memra shel Rav Acha sh'Rav Yehuda eino mekil b'pesach ha-rocha of Yosef mishlosh yisrei amos shlish. V'zeu chidusha shel Rabbi Achi v'eino poshet klal. So he says the following in his last answer, that It could be this braisa reflects the shita Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda will allow. Just 1 second. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda will allow for the effective lechi and korah even in a width that's more than 10 amos wide. And our sugi here does not know of Rav Achi. Rav Achi is going to limit and, shall I say, restrict Rabbi Yehuda's chidush to 13 and a third amos. And that's a sugi later on in Daf Yud. Our Gemara is oblivious to this interpretation of Rav Achi and assumes the simple pshat in Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda recognizes the validity of a lechi and a korah no matter how wide the opening is into this mavui. The sky's the limit. And certainly you could have a mavui with a rochav of 16 amos, and yet, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the lechi and the korah will be affected. So let's just summarize four different answers to Tosis's kasha. And this is Tosis Dima Maskev Alechi, which is all told one line, in the printed version. The first answer is that the Lechi is more than, let's say, 6 amos wide, and therefore it closes off the opening, reducing it to 10 amos. If you recall, we had to add another proviso that the 2 amudim of the Tzuras HaPesach, if we go according to the Tanakhama, are also wide enough so that they block and reduce the opening to Eser Amos. That was answer number one. Answer number two, which is the Rashba's first answer, is that our corridor, if you continue it until you get towards the end of the city, it finally gets narrow. And the third answer was, even at this point, in the card itself it gets narrow, but we have two conditions. Number one, the Rabim Holchim Sham, and number two, Eino Misakmim, they don't go to the left or to the right. And finally, we have the last answer of the Rashba, and that is that our sugya here reflects the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't require a maximum of 10 amos wide for a lechi and a korah. So that's what we have over here. So again, we're back to the Gemara's kashya, Rishus HaRabim Mima Arva. Can we actually be metaken and be matid tiltul through some sort of an eruv in the case of a Rishus HaRabim? And we have here a comment of the Piskei Arid, who is one of the Italian Rishonim, and he says that Kushas HaGemari Ala Tanakama, number one, according to Tanakama, who is Matir and Eruv with a Tzuras HaPesach on one side and a Lechi on the other, V'chein LeBeisil Aliba DeChananya SheTiru B'Dalsos V'Lechi. However, this kasha is not a kasha according to Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai has dalsos on both ends of this boulevard, which clearly closes off this boulevard on all four sides with four machitzos. The Meiri says that our question, the kasha, the Gemara, is only according to Tanakama, but according to Beis Hillel, who has a delos at one end of the boulevard, there's no kasha whatsoever. Because he says, Poshut shedelis mo'ila levatil shem rishus harabim. He says that there's no question that the delis serves as a mechitza, and therefore we have two mechitzos, as we said before, the facades of the buildings on the right and the left, the two rows, they each form a mechitza. So we have an area of the boulevard that is surrounded on the right and the left by two mechitzos. Now we have a delis at the very end of this corridor, as we called it, and that forms a third mechitza, and therefore it's no longer Rishus HaRabim. Apparently, according to the Meiri, there's a fundamental difference in terms of Hilchus mechitzos between a Tzuras HaPesach, on the one hand, and a delis on the other hand. A delis is a full-fledged mechitza. I mean, that's a little bit of a question in my mind, because the delis opens and closes, so it's not really a permanent mechitza. But nevertheless, it's a mechitza. Because when the two doors are closed, and as we said before, they connect with some sort of a latch, that forms a mechitza. However, Tzuras HaPesach is a tikkun, but it's not a mechitza, because it's absolutely open. So the Gemara's kasha here is a kasha on the Tanakama, because according to Tanakama, what do you have here? You have a Tzuras HaPesach on one end of this corridor, you got a lechi or a kor at the other end of the corridor, you only have two mechitzos, and presumably you have a width of 16 amos. There's no third mechitza here. Then you're being ma'ariv or shusarabim, according to Tanakama. And it seems that the Piskei Arid understands that even according to Beis Hillel, who has a delas at the end of the corridor, the Gemara still thinks it retains its status as shusarabim, which probably means that a delas is not totally reliable. Vasanya. Now we're up to the Braisa, and we're about to establish that there is no such thing as a tikkun to be matir tiltul in a case of Rishus HaRabim. That's the Braisa that we're about to learn. Now this Braisa is going to talk about what's called a Rishus HaRabim Makura. Again, if I had a whiteboard, I would write this word on the board in case you haven't seen it before. Makura. Makura means it's got a ceiling on top of it. And once the Rishus HaRabim has a ceiling on top of it, which means that you're not under the sky, then it's no longer a Rishus HaRabim. And this is going to be a subject of a Mishnah later on in Masechta Erevin on Daf Tzadihei Amud Aleph. Please make a note of it. And that's called the Rishus HaRabim Makura. Now, what is the Rishus HaRabim Makura? So we're talking about Shnei Batim, B'Shnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So we have a house on one side, we'll call it the right side of Rishus HaRabim, and a house on the left side, directly corresponding, parallel one house to the other. So the face of one house, the entryway to one house, faces the entryway to the other house. In between is Rishus HaRabim. And now what they do is they connect these two houses with a roof that goes across the top, so that when you walk into this Rishus HaRabim and you pass between these two houses, you're underneath a roof. Here we have a very beautiful picture of it, which is called Tzir Tesvav. Now, there's another possibility of what's called a Rishus HaRabim Makura, which is called a Gesher. He has another picture here on the left, Tzir Tezayin, of a Gesher. A Gesher means there's a crossway on top of the Rishus HaRabim. And HaGesher Over Me'al Rishus HaRabim. I mean, when you're driving on the highways today in contemporary life, you'll see this all the time. Right? That there's a Gesher on top. So directly under the Gesher, you're in a Rishus HaRabim Makura, because you have a roof on top. And we're about to learn now in this Braisa the view of Rabbi Yehuda. And just by way of introduction, according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that segment of Rishus HaRabim, which is underneath the roof, or underneath that crossway, is Mutter B'Tiltul B'Shabbos. Now, how is that so? You've got two houses with the Rishus HaRabim going down between them. But we have an imaginary mechitza. Where is the imaginary mechitza? That's called Pitikra Yored Visosen. And when we gave an introduction to Mesechta Erevin, I think we've discussed this. A ceiling, and I think we discussed this also in connection to the Korah, how the Korah operates. There were two opinions, if you recall, as to the function and the purpose of a Korah. But one opinion was Pitikra Yored Visoser, Visosem, with a mem at the end. So if you can follow my hand for a moment, this is your ceiling, right? This is a ceiling. And the end of the ceiling on both sides is Yored Visosem. It sets up an imaginary mechitza. Because imaginary mechitzas go in two directions. Either go to Achis Mechitza or go to Asik Mechitza. It either goes down, that's called Achis, or Asik means it goes up. In this case, it's going down. Normally, a Mechitza, when you apply the principle of an imaginary Mechitza, goes up. Like, for example, a Rishus HaYachid, which is surrounded by Mechitzas that are only 10 Tvachim, and yet the Mechitza goes all the way to Shamayim. So that any airspace above that area called Rishus HaYachid is considered Rishus HaYachid. But here we're going in the opposite direction. We're taking a mechitza downwards. And that's called Pitikra Yori Visosem. Now watch what happens now. Imagine you're standing underneath this roofing, right? Underneath this roof between the two houses. So if you look to your right, immediately you'll see a house. You move to your left, you'll see another house on the other side. If you look up, you will see a tikra. You will see a roof. Now, if you're standing directly under the roof, if you look to your right, you're going to have a mechitza, and you look to your left, you'll have a mechitza. What do I mean? That you are surrounded by four mechitzas, two of which you see with your eyes, and two of which you don't see with your eyes. They're imaginary. Now, I'm going to take a break here to just make sure we're all on the same page. Does everybody have that?
No.
No?
I think I lost you on the page.
Okay. So again, just imagine that you're standing between these two houses.
No, I'm sorry. I physically meant the page in the Gemara. Where are we in the Gemara?
Oh, we are now about to turn to Daf Vav Amid Beis. We are on the last, let's say, six words on Daf Vav Amid Aleph, which is called Yeser Al Kein Omer Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
But the Pitikra, you understood?
No.
Oh, so again, I'm standing underneath this roof.
Right.
Okay, let's say I have a house on my right and a house on my left. Imagine that you're looking towards one of those two homes. Choose your home. I couldn't care. Let's say you're looking to the right. Okay? I'm sorry. Scratch that. You're looking towards the house. You're looking straight ahead. Not towards the right, not towards the left. What do you see in front of you? A house. If you would make an about face, you would see another house, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What's on your right and what's on your left? Airspace, right? The Rishus HaRabim. No. That's because you don't have the halachic eyes. The halachic eyes see a mechitza on the right and a mechitza on the left. Not just the mechitza in front of you of the facade of that house and the mechitza behind you of the facade of the other house that's parallel, but you have a mechitza here to your right and to your left. Where are those mechitzas? And the answer is because the roof, the corners of the roof, the edges of the roof on the left and the right will go all the way down. As if there's a mechitza, you are now surrounded by four mechitzas, two of which you see with your eyes, two of which you imagine.
Okay.
Now we're ready for Rabbi Yehuda. Yeser al kein. This is a chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Even in this case, you could be matir, you could allow tiltil in a Rishus HaRabim. Again, you're standing under the roof, which covers your head over Rishus HaRabim, and you're allowed to carry there. So let's say, for example, you're going to be in one house, you can carry from that house out to Rishus HaRabim. Again, we'll see what circumstances, what conditions have to be met. You could be in the other house, and you could carry it out into Rishus HaRabim. That's magical. How does that happen? So for this, we turn to Davav Amid Beis. And he says the following: Misha Yelo Shnei Batim Bishnei Tzidei Yerushalayim Bishnei Tzidei Rishus Haravim. So a person has, there are two houses on two sides of Rishus Haravim, and he wants to take an object from one house to the other house, going through Rishus Haravim. Could you imagine, Rabosai? He's carrying from Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid through Rishus HaRabim. I mean, in the normal circumstances, that would be a Chiv Chatos. And it might, according to Ben Azai, he would get two Chatos, because Mahalika Omeh Domi, it's as if he took it from one Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, then he took it from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. This is just a... I'm just amusing myself here. So how does Rabbi Yehuda allow you to take something from one house through Rishus HaRabim into another house? And the answer is because he is surrounded by two mechitzos. One mechitza of one house, which he left, he exited, and then the mechitza that he's about to enter into, the mechitza of the other house. So he's got two mechitzos. Okay, fine. Now that he has two mechitzos, what is he going to do? Osa lechi mikan, velechi mikan, okora mikan, vekora mikan, venose, venosein boemtza. Amru lo, ein ma'arvin rishus haravim v'kach. Okay. So now, the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, you remember on the bottom of page Vavam and Aleph, it said Yeser Al Kain. So what is Yeser Al Kain? Meaning Rabbi Yehuda is willing to go even a step further. Rabbi Yehuda is willing to allow you to carry from one house to the other house, even without a roof on top, without the overhanging bridge, you know, that we spoke about. And without P. Tikra, Sosen, Yored V'Sosen. Right? In the case where you had a roof on top of the Rishus HaRabim that connects the two houses, then we apply the principle of P. Tikra, Yored V'Sosen. We ended up with four mechitzos that surround any person that's underneath the roof between the two houses in the Rishus HaRabim, because he's surrounded by four mechitzos. Yeser Al Kain, Rabbi Yehuda goes even a step further, and he says, I don't even need the roof on top. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the area between one house and the other is called a Rishus HaYochid. What does that mean, a Rishus HaYochid? It's 16 amos wide. All the rabbim are going there. You have 600,000 people who walk there, and it's still a Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because the facade of one house and its corresponding house on the other side of Rishus HaRabim are two mechitzos. So the area between the two houses is surrounded by two mechitzos. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that any area that's surrounded by two mechitzos, is Rishus HaYochid. The Rabbanan say that we're not going to allow you to carry in that area that's Rishus HaYochid, because Rishus HaRabim is so obviously and profoundly, you know, cutting through this area. So we're going to require what's called a Lechi Mikan, or alternatively, Kora Mikan, Vekora Mikan.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why does he say Kora Mikan, Kora Mikan? Couldn't he have one Vekora from one to the other?
I'll tell you what Rabbi Yehuda's goal is. Rabbi Yehuda's goal is to make sure that it's clear where that area begins and where it ends. What do I mean to say? You're in a Rishus HaRabim, and you're going down this major boulevard. Now you're telling me that between the two houses, it's Rishus HaYochid. Where does that begin and where does that end? And Rabbi Yehuda requires that you set off or designate, you know, the beginning of that area that's set apart and the end of that area. So he requires a lechi on one side and a lechi on the other side. Now, let me ask you this, Jerry. Do you have a picture that I have here? It's called Seer Aleph on page Vav Amud Beis. So you don't have a picture. So again, we have the same problem here, but the visual picture here is very, very excellent. And it's in color. But basically, imagine that you're walking down the Rishus HaRabim, and you get to that point which is between the two houses. And that means the beginning of the facade of this house, let's call it the house on your right, and the end of the facade of this house on your right. So Rabbi Yehuda wants you to put a korah at the beginning of that facade and at the end of that facade. And the korah on both sides now designates the area between the two batim. The other alternative is to set up between the two batim a korah at the beginning of the facade and another korah at the end of the facade. But basically what happens is, if you're standing between the two batim, you will see a korah on your right and a korah on your left, or a lechi on your right or a lechi on your left. That gives you the demarcations that you know you're in this area which is called the Rishus HaYachid. The Rabbanan are not going to rely on the fact that it is in fact the Rishus HaYachid, because Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that all you need is a mechitza here and a mechitza there, which you have. The Rabbanan are going to go ahead and say, no, we want it to be absolutely crystal clear and demonstrated that you are in that area which is designated and set off from the rest of Rishus HaRabim because it's between these two batim. So let me read to you what he says over here. He says, Misha hayu lo shnei batim mishnei tzidei Rishus HaRabim v'zeh k'neged zeh v'rotze lahavir chafotzov mi bayis le bayis derech Rishus HaRabim me'achar sheyesh Rishus HaRabim mokom zeh. Since this Rishus HaRabim at that particular point, Shtei Mechitzos Tovos, the Haino Mechitzos HaBatim, is Midin Torah, Nechshev Mokom Zeh Ledas Rabbi Yehuda L'Rishus HaYochid, Mirabonan Tzorch Tikun, Kidei Lahatir Tiltul Mibayis Labayis. V'lachain, how does he get this Tikun, which is a rabbinic requirement? The status of the area between the two batim is that of Rishus HaYochid on a Doraisa level. And the answer is, Ose lechi mikan, bekotza echad me'abatim, lecha mikan bekotza acher, shel oso habayis. So he's got two lechis at the two edges of this house, on the right, we'll call it. V'nimtza, and what does he gain by this? Sheyesh stima, again, he's closed off, shnei roshi Rishus HaRabim, the beginning of that Rishus HaRabim with the first Korah, and the end of that Rishus HaRabim with the second Korah. That Rishus HaRabim, so to speak, it's not really Rishus HaRabim, but the Rabbanan are considering it like a Rishus HaRabim, now becomes set aside by the two Korahs, and it's Mutal Taltel. You can go in that area, so you can take something out of your house, bring it to the other house across the road. Oh, Bimkom lechi, instead of a lechi, yochal aniach korah leheker mikan. So you have a korah on this side of the first part of the facade of Rishus of the bayis on your right, and that korah is going to take you all the way across to the other house. And korah mikan, and a second korah, a beam on top that attaches the end of that first house with the end of the house across the road. Again, it's going to be a little bit of an engineering achievement here to get that korah attached to the outside of the house. You know, in the case of a lechi, it's a little bit easier. You know, it stands vertically, so you just attach it to the house. But in the case of the korah, it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge. In the picture, it's interesting, he has it underneath the roofs. You know, these are red, you know, teepee-shaped roofs, shingled roofs that he has on top of the house. So he's going to put the korah right below each of those two roofs in this picture. V'nose v'notein v'emtza. Now he's allowed to carry between the two houses. And Omru lo, the Chacham say to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein ma'arvim sh'saravim v'kach. You know, you can't be metakein an area which is sh'saravim through a lechi or a korah. Because the Chacham hold that the area between the two houses is called Rosh Hashanah, because it's only surrounded by two mechitzos. Or Rosh Hashanah Yachid requires a minimum of three mechitzos. It comes out that according to everyone, you cannot be metakin a Rosh Hashanah with a lechi or a korah to be matir tiltul. What you can do, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that if it's already Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because it has two mechitzos, then you could be metakin the Rosh Hashanah with a lechi or a korah. Now, if we go back to our brisa, in the case of the corridor between the two rows of homes, so then let's take the Tanakhama Shita that says that you could be metakin this Rosh Hashanah by putting up a Tzuras HaPesach in one end and a lechi or a korah in the other end. How is that possible to have a tikkun on a Rosh Hashanah? Because we're assuming now that we hold like the sheet of the Chachamim that require at least a minimum of three mechitzos to set up Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The Chitayim of the Gemara now suggests Bekach hu delo ma'arva. In other words, it's not enough to be ma'arvit with what? With a lechi or a korah. Ha bedalsos mi'arva. So again, this is going to be an explanation for Beis Hillel. Right? Beis Hillel says that all you need is one deles at one end of the corridor with a korah or lechi at the other end. And perhaps we could assume, if I read the Gemara carefully, that the deles itself is considered a mechitza, so that now this area is surrounded by three mechitzos, which according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda is sufficient to set up a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And perhaps according to the Tanakhama the Braisa, we could even suggest a step further that the Tzuras HaPesach itself at the end of one end of the corridor is considered a mechitza, and therefore the area is surrounded by three mechitzos. Ha'omar Rabba Barachana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. We have a statement here of Rabba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan regarding the city of Yerushalayim. Now keep in mind that the city of Yerushalayim has a derech Rosh Hashanah Rabim that in a straight line takes you from one end of the city to the other end of the city. And not only that, at the beginning of this long boulevard and at the end of this long boulevard we have delosos, we have doors on both ends, and yet Rabbi Yochanan says that you're not allowed to carry through this Rosh Hashanah Rabim il mole dal sosel ne'ulos balayla. In other words, what we're going to do is at nighttime we're going to lock both doors on both ends. It's not enough that you lock the doors on one end, you have to lock it on both ends. And if not, if you don't, if Ilmoli is a theoretical point, because in actuality they locked Yerushalayim on both ends during the nighttime. They didn't allow for anyone to come into Yerushalayim at night. There may have been a shomer there who would allow, in specific cases, somebody who urgently has to get there. So therefore, if you didn't have the proviso of locking both doors on both ends, then chayavin olam mishum rishus arabim. If you were to carry in this corridor, in this boulevard that cuts through the entire city of Yerushalayim, you'd be chayav achatos, because you are violating a malacha d'oraisa of carrying in rishus arabim. We see clearly from Rabbi Yochanan that in order to undermine the status of rishus arabim, you must have doors that are locked on both ends, and therefore, what are we going to do with Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel says that all you need is one door, and the Tanakhama said all you need was a Tzuras HaPesach at one end, and what you have at the other end is not a door, it's not a Tzuras HaPesach, it's only a lechi or a korah. Rabbi Yochanan clearly says that in order to convert a Rishus Arabim to Rishus HaYochid, you have to have locked doors on both ends of the boulevard. And that we don't have, neither according to Beis Hillel, who has one Deles at one end, nor according to Tanakama, who has the Tzuris of Pesach at one end. We would only be satisfied according to Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai requires blossos on both ends. But now we're going to according to Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan clearly rejects Beit Shammai. We don't paskin like Beit Shammai. We don't require to be matted tiltul in this corridor that there be blossos at both ends. And yet Rabbi Yochanan himself says that Yerushalayim is only batel from Rishus HaRabim. How are you mevatel the shame Rishus HaRabim? Because he had locked doors on both ends. And that's the Gemara's kasha. So B'li Neder, we'll try to see if we can reconcile this question tomorrow. Okay then?
Sure.
I wish